point does a baby get human rights?
Answering that question with specificity is above my pay grade.
Faith without works is dead. People need to carpool more. And because Americans are so overweight, it might not be too bad to walk more.
If I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
One thing you know to expect tonight when Barack Obama takes that stage, that specially designed stage, looking something like a Greek temple. The thousands that will gather before him. It's going to be an enthusiastic evening for the Democratic National Convention and their newly minted candidate for president and his running mate. But one thing I think you can expect, there will be some God talk. There will be a religious feel to the entire event. It's worked well for Barack Obama up to this point, and many are saying that along with one of his predecessors in the office, or at least aspirants to the office, he's at ease speaking about his religious faith. Meanwhile, a Pew Forum poll, we've talked about it before on the program, says that religious conservatives are less comfortable with the mixture of politics and religion. We're going to be talking about that poll here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Thursday, August the 28th. You can join us. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our short conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell on the new Pew Forum poll on religion and politics, we'll have Ken Sherb in as a guest. We'll be talking with him about the Blue Ribbon Task Force on the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod's structure and governance. Does that sound boring? Well, it's kind of technical stuff, but it's very important. One of the, perhaps the only remaining truly confessional Lutheran church body in the United States, trying to make a major change in its structure that may also be a major change in how it views itself as a church body. Doctrinal implications? Yes. Dr. Ken Sherb will talk to us about that a little later in this hour. Second hour of the program, Dr. Thomas von Hegel will join us today. The church remembers 5th century bishop and theologian. There are few greater than St. Augustine. We'll talk with him about Augustine there for the first few minutes of that second hour. Then Dr. John Seleska will discuss a very important subject, more important than all others, the active and passive obedience of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is our Savior from beginning to end, a keeper of the law, and fully suffered all that God's justice required for our sin. Coming up in the last part of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell's a regular guest. She's a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Todd.
One of your, I'm sure that it's a mutual acquaintance and friend, Dr. James Hitchcock of St. Louis University.
Yes.
Once said on our program that if someone really consistently believed that there should be no mixture of religion and politics, the only candidates that person could ever really vote for are atheists and agnostics. Do you agree?
I think that's a good point. And, of course, polls show that fewer than 1 in 10 Americans actually claims not to believe in God, so that leaves us a pretty small talent pool from which to choose our leaders if we follow that logic. Nor would such a leader be very representative of our overwhelmingly religious nation. So it's absolutely true that the mixing of religion and politics is inevitable if we take both religion and politics seriously.
Did the media get it right when Pew Forum issued this latest poll on religion and politics and the conclusions that seem to have been drawn that religious conservatives are less comfortable than ever before with the mixture of the two?
Well, I think the poll itself is interesting and valuable research, but no, I thought overwhelmingly the commentary in the secular press tended to skew the results and try to claim that this poll proved things that I don't think it proved. In fact, it clearly didn't prove. And there was a sense among many strident secularists, and many of them touted this. You could find this on the website of the National Secular Society. You could find this on news blogs all over the place. This idea that, well, now conservatives are on our side, they too want to banish God from political life. And if you look at the poll, that's not what it said at all.
What in the poll indicates or would mitigate the conclusion that was drawn by so many when they looked at it?
Well, there was a very slim majority of respondents who said that they believe churches and other houses of worship should not express their views on day-to-day political and social questions. Now, what exactly that entails, it's not completely clear. Day-to-day seems to imply that we're talking about not so much a stance on one issue, but getting into nitty-gritty policy particulars. At least if you interpret it that way, it's a much narrower finding. But more importantly, the same poll that said that also found that more than 7 in 10 Americans want a president with strong religious beliefs, and an overwhelming 64% said they believe politicians today don't talk about their religious beliefs enough, or believe that they do talk about them just about enough. So that's a pretty overwhelming number of Americans who feel that there is a place for religion in politics. Even more importantly, the slight increase in those who are uncomfortable with the mixing of the two was from the ranks of social conservatives who say their top issues in voting are abortion and gay marriage, and from Americans who say our major political parties are insufficiently friendly to religion. So it's important that this shift came not in 2004 when there was so much talk about John Kerry and his tangling with Catholic bishops over the abortion stance. It came in 2008 after we've been hearing all about Democratic efforts to outreach to religious voters, and after we heard an awful lot from folks like the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama's pastor of 20 years, and the Reverend Michael Flager, who was recently disciplined by the Archdiocese of Chicago for being rabidly partisan in support of Obama. So to take this as a signal that the religious right is being rebelled against is to ignore the fact that this poll came out on the heels of the emergence of a religious left that clearly makes a lot of folks uncomfortable.
Okay, that is kind of my working theory, and please feel free to disagree with me if you want to. I wonder whether or not social conservatives, by and large, religious social conservatives, were alarmed by the lack of, it's a clumsy term, but the lack of God talk coming from the left. They were alarmed by it, but they're even more alarmed by the left when it does engage in God talk.
Right. I think that's true. And, of course, secular liberals will say, well, you're being hypocrites. You've got a double standard. You don't mind when your people do it, but you want us not to do it. Of course, that ignores the fact that liberals play by the same playbook in that, you know, when George Bush says he follows Christ, everyone snickers and guffaws. And when Barack Obama does it, everyone runs around saying, no, he's a wonderful Christian. And this is coming from people often who aren't even religious themselves. So there is a lot of back and forth on this, but I think there's a deeper issue here, and that is that I think conservatives have a view of religion, and conservative Christians particularly, that, you know, God is God, we're not, government is not God, our political leaders are not God, so they get very uncomfortable to the point of being creeped out by politicians like Barack Obama accepting a political nomination in something that looks like a Greek temple, talking about how we are the ones we've been waiting for, talking about how the moment of his nomination was the moment the seas began to slow their rise and, you know, sort of the earth kind of stopped spinning on its axis. I added that second part, but there's a sense in which they're very concerned when politicians start usurping the role of religion in really that meaning-making role in society. So I think there is a legitimate difference in the way these two groups view what's appropriate in terms of religion and politics.
I'm wondering if the proper, I don't want to call it a balance because I don't think that word does it justice, but the proper interaction between religion and politics is ever one that we will be able to find either in a party or any particular candidate?
Well, I think obviously there are excesses. You can go in all directions, and folks on all ends of the political spectrum can be guilty of them. But I think at the end of the day, the best, perhaps, that we can do is to let things unfold, to let it be a free and open public square. And if occasionally you get the ranting Jeremiah Wright, you know, let him rant and let the public say, no, we reject what you believe and we don't like that mixing of it. But I think what we need to be frightened of, whether it's the people we disagree with or the ones we agree with, is when we start putting too strict limits on who can speak out in the public square. And then you get a situation where, sure, you might not have the cacophony of crazy voices, But then you have something else, a very frightening and stifling silence. And pretty soon the secularists and the ardent atheists are the only ones who are allowed to speak. So if it means tolerating a few religious crazies on either end of the spectrum, I think that's the price we pay for a free and open democracy. And I think we should always keep in mind that a genuine faith will always be somewhat engaged in politics, because if it's not, it's staying out of the public square and it's refusing to impact society. And what kind of faith is that?
With only 30 seconds, no more, what are your predictions for tonight's temple-bound, obviously well-attended speech by Barack Obama?
I think probably soaring rhetoric, even though we've been warned to expect something more workmanlike. He'll probably try to get a little more concrete, but the setting is obviously not intended for that. The real question will be, how does he stand up in the debates with John McCain? So that's what remains to be seen. Tonight will be a love fest for Obama.
Colleen Carol Campbell is St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns on the web as well. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, click On Demand, and you'll find her columns. Colleen, I know you'll be watching tonight.
I
haven't watched any of it at all, but I'll be watching tonight too, if only to hear a rousing speech and to see how it all comes off. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Tess.
When we come back, we're going to talk about restructuring maybe the last conservative Lutheran, confessional Lutheran church body in America.
But politics, religion, and her. But politics, religion, and her.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Richard and Connie Butch, Richard Bonine Jr., Sharon Kessel, Amelia Fowler, Wayne Spink, Dan Berg, William Bailing, Joshua Shear, Margaret Ryan, and James Brandt. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.